Now we're going to commence our Bible reading tonight at Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 12, and beginning our reading at the verse number 22 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 37. Let us hear God's Word as we read it together this evening. Matthew chapter 12 and the verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 37. And we know the Lord will add his own blessing to this public reading of his infallible word to all of our hearts. Our text for this evening is verse 31 and verse 32 of that chapter. Let me just read those two verses with you again. Matthew 12, verse 31. Jesus is speaking and he says, Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now, one of the many deceptions of the false system of Roman Catholicism is its division of sin into what they call mortal sin and venial sin. The Church of Rome says that mortal sin is a great offense against God's law, condemning the soul of man to eternal punishment. And this punishment can only be expiated by a purgatory. The Church of Rome also teaches and talks about venial sin, and they say that venial sin is small and pardonable offenses against God and against their neighbor. They say that these kind of sins need no confession because they can be atoned for by good works, by prayers, by extreme unction, and also thy purgatory. Now we want to say tonight that such division of sin is wrong. And we also want to say that there is no such place called purgatory. It is never mentioned in the Bible. Yes, the Bible never mentions mortal sin. It never mentions venial sin. Yes, it does speak about sin. And while the effects of sin in this life may differ, God's word shows us that all sin makes all men equally guilty of sin before God. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. It says, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In James chapter 2 and the verse 10 it says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And why? Because of a sin, sin by nature and sin by practice, all men equally are condemned to hell. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Let me say at the outset tonight, the only way for man to be saved from his sin and the ruin of his sin and to be sure of heaven is for him to repent of his sin and put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone and in his finished work upon the cross alone for the salvation of his soul and the pardon of all his sins. The Bible says that we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. However, men and women, the Bible does speak to us about an unpardonable sin, a sin that can never be forgiven. And we read of that unpardonable sin tonight in the words of our text in verse 31 and verse 32 of Matthew chapter 12. Jesus is speaking here and he says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speak of a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. In this chapter and in our Bible reading tonight, we have read about the Lord Jesus Christ healing a man who was blind, a man who was dumb, a man who was demon-possessed. Not only did the Lord heal him, the Lord saved him. And the passage tells us in our reading tonight how the Pharisees, the religious people of the day, they reject this miracle. And not only do they reject this miracle, they reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Notice very carefully what they say in verse 24 of the chapter. It says, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Beelzebub is another name there for Satan. They completely rejected Christ. They repudiated Christ. They repudiated this miracle that Christ performed. They said it was attributed to the power of Satan. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. For those words whereby they make known their rejection of Christ, Christ warns them that they must give account for their words on the day of judgment. Look at what he says in verse 36 of the chapter. He says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof on the day of judgment. Not only does he warn them that they must account for the words that they've just spoken on the day of judgment, but he also warns them of the awful danger of committing the unpardonable sin. And he warns them of this in verse 31. When he says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. By the unpardonable sin is one that could never be forgiven, he tells them, in this time and even in eternity. For look at what he goes on to say to them in the very next verse, verse 32. He says, "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." What a warning these ungodly Christ rejectors receive from the lips of Christ. They must give account of their words on the day of judgment. He warns them about committing the unpardonable sin. And in committing that sin, there was no hope for them in time. No hope for them in eternity. What a solemn sentence from the very lips of Christ. And tonight, friends, for a little while, I want us just to look at this subject of the unpardonable sin. And I trust tonight that if you're here and you're not saved, as we consider what God has to say to your heart and to all our hearts upon this matter, that this very night you would be made wise unto salvation. That you would not go out of this meeting rejecting Christ. But this very night you would turn to Him and embrace Him as your Lord and as your Savior and as your own personal Redeemer. First of all, I want us just to consider together the misconceptions of men about the unpardonable sin. You see, men have all kinds of ideas about the unpardonable sin, what it is and what it is not. Well, I want to say tonight that the Bible makes it very clear that it is not the awful sin of murder. You read in the Bible of how David and indeed Moses were guilty of murder. Yet both repented of their sins. Both were saved from their sins. Both were forgiven by God. David could say in Psalm 103, "As far as the east is from the west, so far have He removed our transgressions from us." Think of Moses. You read of Moses in Hebrews 11, the great chapter of the heroes and the heroines of faith, those who were saved by the grace of God. And the Bible says, by faith Moses chose the reproach of Christ. The Bible makes it very clear. Sin, yes, is a terrible sin. Or murder is a terrible sin. But murder is not the unpardonable sin. The Bible also makes it clear that the unpardonable sin is not adultery, terrible as that sin may be. For in John's Gospel, chapter 8, you read of the Lord Jesus Christ saving and delivering a woman taken in the very act of adultery. And He said to her, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." The Bible also makes it very clear that it is not the awful sin of immorality or idolatry or sodomy or stealing or covetousness or drunkenness or reviling or extortion, terrible as those sins may be. You turn in your Bible, please, over to 1 Corinthians and to the chapter number 6. And look with me at what Paul says to the Corinthians in verses 9, 10 and 11. Here he's speaking to the Corinthian believers, and they had been involved in these kinds of sins, yet they were saved from them. They had repented of them, and they were forgiven by the grace of God. Look at what he says in verses 9, 10, 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" He's speaking there of those who are unrepentant sinners. He says, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, and nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." What a list there he makes. And then notice what he says to this very same people. Then the next verse, verse 11. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." And the fact that God says they were justified shows that they were forgiven. Forgiven all these sins, terrible as though they were. They were saved from them. We want to also to say tonight that the unpardonable sin is not cursing. It is not swearing or taking God's name in vain, terrible though that may be, because Peter was saved from such sin. My, the unpardonable sin has not been taken up with the allurements of this evil and this ungodly world. William Yule, as a young man, was caught up with all the ungodly snares and vices of this world, yet he repented of his sin and was gloriously saved and forgiven by God. And testifying of that, he could say, "Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not that it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me." He knew pardon from all the sins that had been caught up with in this ungodly world. Oh people, the unpardonable sin is none of these sins that we've just mentioned and listed before you tonight. Yes, we see the misconceptions of men about the unpardonable sin. But secondly, tonight I want you to notice the perpetrators of the unpardonable sin. Who are those that commit this unpardonable sin? Well, we want to say tonight that no born-again Christian can ever commit the unpardonable sin. You see, for the born-again Christian, their sins are already forgiven, blotted out by the precious blood of Christ, past, present and future. Such are no longer under the sentence of the guilt of their sins. Such are no longer under their sins' condemnation. Remember what Paul said to the Christians in Romans 8 verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Remember the Lord's promise to all whom he saves in the book of Isaiah. He says, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud all thy transgressions." Remember the words of Christ as he spoke to the Jews of his day. He said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." There you see from those words very clearly, no born-again Christian, whoever he is, whoever she is, can commit the unpardonable sin. Such are saved from the guilt and the condemnation and the penalty of all their sin in hell. Such are sure of heaven. My, as a repentant sinner, D.L. Moody trusted Christ. He trusted in the blood of Christ for the cleansing away of all of his sin. And he could rejoice in the assurance of all his sins forgiven. He could rejoice in the assurance of an eternal home in heaven. He said, "Someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody is dead. Don't you believe a word of it, for at that moment I shall be more alive than I am now." He was looking forward with hope and with joy, an expectation to heaven. And praise God also, there's many in this meeting tonight, and you too have that same assurance in your heart. The assurance of all your sins forgiven through the blood of Christ. The assurance of eternal life and eternal home in heaven. What a prize it is before us as the people of God. Yes, no born-again Christian can ever commit this unpardonable sin. However, the Bible does make it very clear there will be many. Many who will commit this unpardonable sin, especially in the last days, especially in the days prior to the return of Christ. You turn with me your Bible over to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Here John is speaking to us of the last days, of the rise of the Antichrist, the days of tribulation, when there will be great ungodliness and wickedness in this world such as never been known and seen before. I want you to see very carefully what he tells us about the Antichrist and about the multitudes in the world who will follow him in the last days. Look at verse 3 and verse 8 of Revelation chapter 13. He says in verse 3 of Revelation chapter 13, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed." And notice it. "And all the world wondered after the beast." The beast is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a system that is completely contrary to God. It will be a political system, a religious system, a monetary system, a system, yes, of military might, headed by one who is a figurehead, an Antichrist who is against all that is of God and all of Christship. The Bible says all the world will wonder after him. They'll be taken up with him in amazement as his follower. Look at verse 8 of Revelation chapter 13. It says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There he tells of many following the end time Antichrist. Go over also to Revelation chapter 14. Look at what John tells us further about those who follow and worship the end time Antichrist in verses 9, 10 and 11. Revelation chapter 14. And bear in mind he's speaking here of the last days. He says, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, that's the Antichrist, and his image, and shall receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image. And whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Dear folks, all these people mentioned here have wandered after the beast, who have the mark of the Antichrist upon them, that mark of 666, will have committed the unpardonable sin. The Bible says, all many shall wander after the Antichrist. And Micah tells us, it teaches us that in the last days, many, yes, multitudes will commit this unpardonable sin that Christ speaks of in our text tonight. Dear friends, that is why the Lord Jesus Christ himself said over in the Gospel of Matthew that wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Friend, I will ask you tonight, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to judge this world for its sin, and he is coming back, and he is going to judge this world for its sin, let me ask, will you be saved from your sin on that day? Will your name be written in the Lamb's book of life, or will you be judged for your sin on that day? Will you be found with the mark of the beast upon you that day? Will you be found having committed this unpardonable sin that we're looking at tonight? How will it be with you when Christ returns? Oh, how you and I need to live in the light of eternity, in the light of the return of Christ. How will it be with you? Yes, the misconceptions of men about the unpardonable sin. They're perpetrators of the unpardonable sin. There will be multitudes, there will be many who will commit this sin. But thirdly tonight, I want you to see the meaning of the unpardonable sin. What is it? What does it mean? We'll go back to Matthew chapter 12 and you'll see it very clearly that it is a deliberate rejection, willful rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. This is how it was with these Pharisees to whom Christ spoke the words of our text. In the very context of this passage that we've read from tonight, these men had deliberately, willfully rejected the Son of God to be their Savior from sin. And why that rejection is highlighted for us there in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 12. Where it says, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And it highlights their rejection of Christ as Savior. Hence Christ says to them in verse 31, wherefore, on account of what you've just said, and on account of what you've just done, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Why, there was no hope for these Pharisees. They had forsaken Christ. Christ now forsook them. They were doomed and they were destined to eternal perdition and woe and judgment and hell. Notice how Jesus spells that out before them in verse number 32. He says, "And whosoever speak of a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Whosoever shall speak of against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." These men had deliberately, willfully turned their back upon the Son of God. And the very evidence that he was the Son of God was the fact that day that it healed this man who was dumb and blind, who was possessed with the demon. They turned their back upon Christ. Why, they were Christ rejectors. They repudiated Christ. There was no reception of Christ in their heart as their Lord and as their Savior. Then God says in His Word that my Spirit shall not always strive with man. If you continue to reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, a time may come when you will cross the deadline of your day of opportunity, and God will leave you to your sin. And you will be forever lost in hell. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 36, "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." I think tonight of King Herod, what mercies he had, what opportunities he had to get right with God. John the Baptist preached to him. The Bible says, apart from Christ, there was none greater than John the Baptist as a preacher of God's word, as a servant of God. He told Herod to repent of his sin to get right with God. But my Herod rejected the messenger of God. He rejected that call to repentance. He went on in his sin. In fact, he had John the Baptist beheaded for his faithfulness to Christ. That was his day of opportunity to get right with God. Later on in the Bible, you read of Herod. This time it's the trial of Christ. The Son of God, the Savior of sinners, is brought before him. And this is what the Bible says at the trial of Christ regarding King Herod. It said, he was desirous to see him. He wanted to meet with Christ. He wanted to hear words from Christ. He'd heard about the Lord. He wanted to see more about the Lord. What does the Bible say of Christ as he stands before King Herod? This is what it says. Christ answered him nothing. Christ was silent. Christ had spoken to him through John the Baptist. That was Herod's day of opportunity. That was his golden opportunity, his day of grace. But now Christ and God was silent. Christ and God had left that man to his sin. The Lord was speaking to him no more. Christ answered him nothing. Christ never spake to Herod again. Why? Because he had committed the unpardonable sin. And he was left to perish in his sin. You know, there once was a young woman, lived in a moral life, and she was dying in her sin. The minister was sent for her and he spoke to her about Christ and about God's offer of peace and mercy and pardon for her sin through Christ and through his blood. And the girl replied to the minister. She said, "I was brought up in Sunday school. I knew the right, but I did it not." And the last word she said before she slipped out into eternity was simply this: too late. Too late. She died in her sin. Friend, I want to say tonight, it is a foolish thing. Yes, it is a fearful thing to reject Christ, to reject his offer of salvation. You may choose to reject him tonight, but in doing so, you may well be sealing your eternal destiny for hell. That's the truth of the matter. My, if you commit the unpardonable sin, which is the rejection of Christ, and you die in your sin, then all hope of you ever being saved will be gone forever. What does the Bible say in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verse 46, about all those who commit the unpardonable sin, who die rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? Look at the beginning of verse 46. It says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. That's the word of God. There's no hope for those who die rejecting Christ, having turned their back upon Christ as their Savior and repudiated Him as their Lord, as their Redeemer. Yes, if you die deliberately rejecting Christ as Savior, God says this in His Word. This is what He says. He says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. That's what God says. He says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. That's a fearful statement, a solemn statement, but it is God's Word, and God's Word is true. And that's what He says to all who deliberately, willfully turn their back upon Christ and say no to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. This man will not reign or rule over me. Yes, we see the misconceptions about the unpardonable sin. We see the perpetrators of it. We see the meaning of it. But notice finally just tonight the evasion of this unpardonable sin. How may it be evaded? Well, dear friend, now in time, when you hear God's speaking voice, when God speaks to you about your need of salvation, you must hearken to that voice. You must repent of your sin. You must turn to Christ and trust Him to be your own and personal Savior. That is how you evade this unpardonable sin. God says today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. My, the Lord Himself invites you to repent. He invites you to come to Him and to trust Him now for your salvation. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God spoke to Charlotte Elliot. She heard that voice. She responded. She said, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. She came as a repentant sinner to Christ, and found pardon and peace and liberty and joy and salvation and deliverance from all of her sin. Friend, let me ask, is there a concern tonight in your heart to get saved? Get right with God. Has God been speaking to you? Then I urge you, don't turn away from His speaking voice. Come to Christ for salvation. Confess your sins to Him. He will save you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He will not turn you away. That's His promise. It says in John chapter 6 verse 37, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, be wise tonight. Seek Christ. Trust Him to save you from all your sins. Praise God, through the blood of Christ, through the atoning work of Christ, you can know all your sins forgiven. Don't follow the example of these Pharisees who turned their back upon the Lord. Choose Christ tonight. Put your hand on the nail-pierced hand of Christ. Accept Him as your Savior. Go home rejoicing and your sins all forgiven through the blood of Christ. And the knowledge that your soul is saved for all of eternity. That you're right with God. And that you're sure of heaven. Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. We're just going